As we like to on Mondays, time to check in with Nolan Findlay, editorial page editor for the Detroit News, and some great musings of Nolan's over the weekend about this. It's almost like a double standard. You know, we have those on the left that are very quick to call out those on the ultra right, and sometimes the rats that they have in their cellar. But the left isn't always as quick to do that, especially not in light of campus anti-Semitism. And Nolan, I thought you nailed it this weekend on that.
Well, thanks, Guy. I mean, I feel the same thing. I mean, it's baffling to me and angering as well. I mean, if the Ku Klux Klan set up an encampment in a public space and started harassing, members of marginalized communities, the Justice Department would be all over it. The police, we'd be sweeping them out of our communities. And, you know, I think this is the moral equivalent of what's going on campuses with this anti-Semitism. I think the Gaddafi has become the new white hood and cape, for crying out loud. I mean, this, how is it any different when you have people being singled out and harassed because of the race, because of their religion, because of their faith? It's, we haven't seen anything like this in this country, I think, since the 1930s.
Not monolithic, right? I like that you wrote in your article, it is possible to condemn the policies of the United States and Israel and not be an anti-Semite, and it's possible to support the Palestinians and not hate the Jews.
Yeah, but it's not possible to stand there and say death to Zionists, death to Jews, to block Jewish kids from entering classrooms.
Go back to Poland.
To do that, yeah. It's not possible to do all that and not be an anti-Semite. And it's not possible to stand with the people who do that and not be a fellow traveler with anti-Semites. It's not possible to allow that to go on your campuses and to negotiate with the people who are doing it instead of running them off. It's not possible to do that and not have the stain of anti-Semitism on your hands.
Nolan, I know Caitlin Buss wrote a piece, too, about sextortion of teens and adolescents being on the rise, and that parents really need to be aware of what their children are doing online, because you're never too young to be exploited by these predators.
No, and it's getting worse. I mean, just a many-fold increase in the number of children who are being exploited online, who are being victimized by these sexual predators. We had a young boy kill himself because of it, and that's just getting worse and worse. You got to know what your kids are doing online, and you can't have young children just sitting in front of screens unchecked with access to all manner of websites. I mean, playing a video game on a screen is one thing, but putting yourself out there where anybody anywhere in the world can interact with you, that's not a smart thing for children.
Last week, and I was kind of surprised that this didn't get more attention, but at Livonia's Holmes Middle School, a young man brought a gun to school. Apparently at some point had second thoughts or his conscience was gnawing at him, and gave the gun to a staffer, but it could have been an Oxford in the making.
Well, yeah, I wrote a column about that too, and it's, my son-in-law works there, and it could have been, and, Livonia's taken some very positive steps towards, trying to give these kids places to go, support and what have you, and it worked in this instance because the kid did have a trusted adult to go to and turn that gun in. But we are still, allowing kids to come into school carrying backpacks like Ethan Crumbly did in Oxford. And we have no clue what's in those backpacks. And, Oxford went to clear backpacks. Other places have metal detectors. I think that's something we have to do. I mean, we've got to know what children are bringing into school.
And in your column, you say, everyone's been working and trying to make schools safer, but we're not there yet, unfortunately.
Well, we're obviously not, because this is a school that did a lot to try to anticipate and secure and prevent, and yet a gun got in, and it could have gone very, very badly.
But Nolan, there's just some school districts who don't want to put metal detectors up for, you know.
It costs money.
Yeah, because, you know, for either for the money or just because cosmetically it doesn't look good.
Well, look at all the things we're spending money on. I mean, it's, the spending is just a matter of priorities. And, you know, every time one of these shootings happen, you know, everybody rises up and says, oh, we've got to stop this. We've got to prevent this. Well, let's start doing the things that it's going to take to secure these schools.
Nolan, Gallup had a poll out this morning showing that for President Joe Biden, no sitting president has had a lower rating on their ability to improve the economy than Joe Biden. You got to go back to George W. in 2001 to see it as bad. Only 38% of those queried said that they believe that he can fix things. But when you ask the same thing about Trump, Democrats in Congress, Republicans in Congress, or Fed Chairman Jerome Powell, all of them are below 50%. Nobody, yeah. there is no trust that any of our leaders, elected or otherwise, can fix what everybody says is the most important issue.
Well, yeah, because, you know, they're not fixing it. They're out, in terms of the Democrats and Joe Biden, they're out here pretending everything's fine. It's you that's the problem. You just don't realize how well off you are. And, you know, Republicans can't stop fighting their ideological battles to put in place, measures to make things better. I mean, we're still spending. We are still spending, even though we can't get inflation under control. We still keep passing these massive spending measures without doing any cost controls on the other side. Joe Biden ought to be down 30 points in the polls given his performance, but, you know, Republicans were just bound and determined to run Trump again. And if they lose the election, it won't be because people love Joe Biden. It was because they stood the wrong candidate against him. And same is true on the other side. You know, if Trump wins, it won't be because people all of a sudden fell in love again with Donald Trump. It's because Democrats went with probably the only guy in the country who couldn't beat him.
The vice president hopefuls were on the Sunday shows. Do you think anyone has a leg up
on the Republican side?
Yes.
I don't know. I mean, I hope that he'll pick someone who could actually run the country if that situation occurred and we needed to. But, you know, it's very likely that the two vice presidents that are on the ticket this time will be as bad as the standard bearers.
Yeah, well, that's a spirit.
It was interesting. Doug Burgum apparently has the inside track, and he actually had a pretty good record up in North Dakota. So maybe there's hope there.
And he was impressive during his brief presidential run. I think he's a guy closer to the mainstream than you typically see amongst Republicans. So I don't know if he has a chance because of that or not, but he wouldn't be bad.
All right. Nolan, thanks so much. Have a great week. Always look forward to chatting with you.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right. When we come back, Henry Ford Health, a major Trauma Initiative you'll want to know about next.